The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? Whoa. I'm your middlest brother, Big Dog Woof Woof Travis McElroy.
When do you
What's
think this
your
episode
favorite
is coming out?
Scary movie?
When do you think this episode is coming out?
And this is Griffin McElroy, and I wish, as always, that it could get to my turn without a bit. Or a skit having.
What's your favorite scary movie?
It's like on Whose Line. Whose Line? They brought out Ryan Proops. They bring out Ryan Stiles.
And no, like, Ryan Proops is
they
their
bring
son.
Out Ryan Mockery. They
Ryan
bring
Mockery,
out Ryan Brady.
His father's first name and his father's last name, and he's Ryan Proops.
And they're there with Ryan Carey hosting it all.
Oh, but no way. It's like they haven't brought
Who's
Wayne Brady
Ryan
in.
Is it anyways?
They haven't brought Colin Mockery in yet. And they're like, you know what, guys? Even though we're not all out here, let's fucking do one bit. Like, we're not all out here. We haven't all been introduced, but let's go ahead and get a bit started.
Are you guys going to say what your favorite scary movie
it's
is?
It's November 4th.
No, because it's not right, yeah. And it's not right morally or...
It's a Halloween creep.
It's not. It's November 4th.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving movie?
It's not that.
You can't
What's your
do
favorite
that.
Movie filled with gratitude and thankfulness?
You can't just pivot like that. It's
Hitch.
Not.
I'll answer the question. Hitch to both.
This is what's so hard, Trav. Travis is really hitting on the problem of time dilation that we have with my brother. My brother and me, where you are hearing this on November 4th.
Yeah.
But we're recording it on October 30th.
Time is a flat circle.
That's okay. not. That's not even so, a scary TV.
What's your favorite exploration of time movie?
That stuff about time is a flat circle. Don't even get me started.
Okay, oh, so here he goes.
No,
here he goes.
Don't
he
get
started,
me.
Started now.
I ask kindly that you not get me started.
Oh, I thought that was you saying.
It clearly
like,
isn't okay. flat because there's Christmas and summer. So let's move on. Okay. There's clearly different parts of time. It repeats for sure, but like there's better parts and worser parts. Okay, calm down, Matthew.
It's a rhombus. Oh, Travis, it's hard because when I see you put your hands up,
I see you. He puts the hands up. I talk more.
Well, I hear him put his hands up over his mouth, and I'm like, I have 1.5 to 2 seconds to finish my point before Bane comes back.
It's not Bane, Griffin. It's the scary guy from. Scream.
Give me a Bane.
Ghostface.
Give me a Bane.
Okay. Mr. Wayne, you merely adopted the dark. I was born into it.
They're both pretty good.
They're both really good, actually.
I thought
you sound
he would
exactly
be worse,
like...
but they both sounded exactly like
God damn it, Travis. Every time I want to come
Bane
for
practiced.
Your characters.
Don't get it twisted. I've practiced the Bane.
Bane in my existence. Where I'm still very much in the Halloween spirit. It's hard for me to get past that. You know what I mean? I love Punkmans and the whole bit. I'm still
and
thinking
why
about
aren't
it.
You talking about your favorite scary. I'm trying to make
my favorite scary
by showing interest in them and asking about what they like.
Are you really asking them?
My favorite scary movie is Scary Movie 2. It was of the series the one with the most jokes per minute and has a lot of memorable bits in it and a lot of I will say. Rude send-ups of some Halloween classics.
Justin, what's your favorite of the scary movie franchise?
No, my favorite scary movie is Babadook.
That's not funny, but like, I mean, the name is also, the name's funny.
Or
it's getting to know you questions, Griffin. It doesn't have to be funny. It's a way for me to get to know my friends.
Yeah, Babadook is funny. Sorry, I should be clear. The word is amazing.
It's a funny word, especially if you said, like, they're being kind of Babadook-y.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's classic. Maybe there's, like, a Jeff Foxworthy thing we could do of, like, you might be a Babadook. Have you guys thought about that?
Oh, yeah. If you climb out of a kid's book to steal children in the night, if you are a phantasm created from a mother's grief, you might be a Babadook.
Yeah. Nailed it.
If you live in a closet and climb up on the ceiling, you might be a Babadook.
Yeah.
If you look around and you say to yourself, I might be in a name and I might be in a look, then my friend, I'm going here to tell you you're the Babadook. Just might
now,
be.
Now, Justin, that sounded more like a tough intervention you would have with your friend who's a Babadook and doesn't want to admit it.
It also ended with a definitive statement, which was never Jeff Foxworthy's approach.
You are a redneck.
You are a redneck.
You need to open your mind to the fact that you're a redneck, my friend. Deal with it. This is the tough truth I hand out at a Jeff Foxworthy show.
If your breakfast is a big bowl of worms, you might be a Babadook. Can we do this, please, the whole episode? I feel like it's really fun to do.
If your kid is screaming in the back seat and you think, my husband's dead, you just might be the Babadook.
What's the deal with all these Babadooks? Here's your Babadook.
I'm going to get you all past. I want to get you in the season.
Thanks.
Let's get you in the season. All right.
Hike me up.
We on that Christmas creep now, right?
Oh, fuck.
Halloween's over.
No way.
Christmas creep. Welcome. Simply talking about Hallmark Plus. Happy holidays, everyone. A lot of people are going to talk to you about the Hallmark movie selection this year, and I think we definitely will. And talking about the Hallmark series that are coming out of their series of films. I want to do something a little different right now.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about Hallmark Plus, because they did it. They went and did it. They rebranded their streaming service as Hallmark Plus, and that beast has got to get fed.
Is this where they put the R-rated Hallmark movies?
No, Travis. No, it's not. But this is where they put the movies that they wouldn't put on Hallmark.
Holy shit.
Guys. Hallmark executives, if you're listening, Mark After Dark is like
is
there.
Waiting
you
for
can have
you.
That for your erotic thrillers
or
and whatnot.
Skullmark.
What's going on over on Hallmark Plus is truly, truly unhinged.
So when you say the ones they wouldn't put on Hallmark, Justin, do you mean they're
too hot?
Good?
They're
too good
not,
for Hallmark?
No. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm worried about the future of the arts in a world with the AI.
Yeah.
And I think that if AI starts doing movies, the Christmas ones on Hallmark Plus, that's where we're going to catch them.
That's a foot in the door for sure. Yeah.
That's so where we're going to get them.
That's what the plus is. The plus is, AI learning.
Minus humans.
Minus humans.
Very good.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about these two big projects for Hallmark Plus and ask you guys this challenging question of, like, did they let it in this time?
Oh, I see.
Okay, but I also get very uncomfortable with this because I do also think there is a bit of a overcorrection, and I don't want to insult a real person's film writing.
I think we probably do logic a disservice if we think the people that wrote the eight films that we're about to discuss were living out their lifelong dream.
Okay. Fair enough.
You're being insulting. I'm not insulting. They get it.
Do they ever include human beings, like when they're doing a big Turing test, kind of like, this is the Turing test weekend? Do they ever include any human beings just to throw off the curve? Because I can't imagine failing a Turing test.
They do, but they get so pissed off when you do it. Because I've volunteered, and every time I'm like, bleep, blorp, it's Marbolts. Like, Justin, please stop. We can see you.
But then there's a double faint, because then computers and robots will start talking like that. Because they'll think it's a human. Anyway, let's hear about these films, Juice.
Okay. So, it's actually what we're talking about is a wide array of cinematic offerings. The one that I am probably the most excited about from the Hallmark Plus schedule is the Unwrapping Christmas Movies.
Movies.
Okay. And, let me just show you the image, and you guys will have to kind of describe this for me as we're kind of talking about, people or computers or, That's the literal promotional image.
Okay.
This movie.
Okay, so to describe what we're seeing, we have, it looks like a Christmas tree with three flags on it, one of which is, two of which are definitely Photoshops.
American flags.
Fireworks in the background.
Somewhere, right? Reality?
I can't parse.
I know.
I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And then
when people talk about, like, well, we didn't land on the moon. Look at the way the flag is, and it's weird.
This is what they're talking about. Yeah.
Way that these flags are positioned the wind is coming from nine different directions.
Head on over to the middle of the image. Would you guys tell me what you see there?
Two Cylons who are looking at the camera condescendingly, I would
barely.
Say.
Barely.
I just caught them pretending to be humans. And this is the look I get.
And then behind them, there's a room with snow and a very, again, very robotic-looking Santa Claus back there.
These two are from the Unwrapping Christmas Movies. Meet Tina, Mia, Lily, and Oliva. It says Oliva in the press release, but I'm pretty sure they meant Olivia. Four friends who work together at Tina's shop, all wrapped up. Each woman brings their unique strengths in helping the store be successful.
One has fire powers, one has ice powers, one has earth powers.
And each woman must find her own path to happiness and love. So, on November 7th, you've got Unwrapping Christmas, Tina's Miracle. And in that one, Tina Mitchell, a successful business owner, meets a charming guy, Michael.
Okay.
Then, a week later, you're going to enjoy Unwrapping Christmas, Mia's Prince.
Okay.
Mia, an accountant all wrapped up, is stunned when local celebrity Bo Cavanaugh, who looks just like her favorite romance novel hero, enters her life. Then a week later, you've got Unwrapping Christmas, Lily's Destiny. Lily.
Holy shit. The marketing guru.
What? Let's hold up. Let's stop here. Let's talk about these two. There's four of these films.
Okay. So one is Tina's something.
Tina's Miracle.
And then Mia's Prince.
Mia's Prince on November 14th.
And then the Spear of Destiny?
The Spear of Destiny. Unwrapping Christmas, the Spear of Lily's Destiny. Yes. Okay.
It sounds like they're just trying to kind of churn out all of the stuff they're known for before December even gets here in four tight, tight films.
Now, I'll tell you what would be an incredible cinematic innovation.
What's that, Travis?
If all of these movies share 75% of exactly the same footage, and just we follow different characters as they leave the scene.
Why is this not a video game? Like, that's what I want. Let me play this FMV game. Lily, the marketing guru of All Wrapped Up, believes the universe guides us to our destiny, and it appears that it's guiding her towards a celebrity realtor.
Oh, what luck.
It's so wild when destiny does that, huh?
Hey, I want to point out that second one where it's like she realizes a local celebrity. So he's well known locally.
Yeah, he's a local celebrity.
Looks like the cover guy from her favorite romance novel. Why did it take so long for her to put that together?
How come it's never like, and then she meets Duncan, who works at the Army Corps of Engineers?
Yeah.
He is 51 years old.
Then she met Steve, an unemployed electrical technician who's down on his luck, but he's got a lot of heart and a lot of student loans.
He is not looking for the meaning of Christmas. That is not important to Duncan. He has bills to pay and mouths to feed.
Unwrapping Christmas, the franchise on November 28th, Happy Thanksgiving. With Olivia's reunion. Olivia, the gift wrapping expert, all wrapped up, makes a delivery to a remote cabin only to find her ex-boyfriend, Benjamin, on the other side of the door.
With a knife.
So here's, all I want to say is that I got to give credit to them. A lot of movie studios have worked extremely hard to try to get franchises going.
Yes.
These motherfuckers are just dropping it in a month. We're creating an entire, all wrapped up cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Take that, Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel should just do 4 movies in a month. Then they'd be able to wiggle their way back in.
They should take that. And that would be actually, can you believe that that is all the multi-film franchises that Hallmark Plus is launching?
Just go, I see you winding up that fucking haymaker juice. Just let
it
rip.
Can you believe that they're only doing it once?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Like, just once. Okay, except for, wait a minute. Let's talk about the Cherry Lane movies. Over the course of more than 70 years, a lot of families have lived in the house at 7 Cherry Lane, and each of them has had a Christmas Eve to remember. Oh. In 3 sequels to the 2023 hit movie Christmas on Cherry Lane, we return to the house for more Christmas Eves, with each movie exploring 3 different eras.
Holy shit. So that's 9 eras? How many different eras have there been? Are they going Paleolithic in one of them?
And I'm sorry, man. The factor, the franchise connection is a house.
Yeah, man.
Yes, Travis, this is the brilliant part, right? The one thing that doesn't change is the thing that they have to rebuild.
That's fucking great.
It's so good, actually. They're like, oh, you like the house, huh? How about 3 sequels in it? And then they're like, okay, it's 2 p.m. We need to get this 50s family out.
I just
70s
love,
family, you're up.
I would love to see that, like a fly on the wall of the contract negotiations of one of the stars of the sequel. Who's like, listen, if you want me back, you're going to have to pay top dollar. And then they're like, we actually don't need you back. We've got house. House is all we need for this one.
I also love the idea of you binging this whole series. And by like era 5, you're like, oh, they moved the China cabinet. You're able to really figure out how. Oh, that's
Actually like, okay, so listen. In 1951, a doctor wants to make the holiday special for his worried wife before he is shipped out to serve in Korea. In 2003, a newly married couple who are always in agreement about everything host 2 sets of in-laws for Christmas Eve for the first time and find that they may not have as much in common as they thought they did. And in 2024, a couple tries to arrange a special Christmas surprises for each other, but keeping them a secret may be harder than they thought. That's one movie. That's one movie on one day.
What?
December 5th, there's one movie.
Yeah.
That's those 3, okay?
We are getting 9 eras to depict.
And then you come back on December 12th in 1960, Eli and Penny take in Eli's curmudgeonly father, Walter. In 1998, we see Regina and Nelson's first meeting. And in 2015, Jessie faces a big challenge by planning her sister's last-minute Christmas Eve wedding. The officiant is Tim, her high school sweetheart.
All of these could just say, like, some dude is doing this and some lady is doing that. Don't worry about who they are. They're going to be on screen for 25 minutes tops, but don't worry. The corners and the window, the door and stuff, all there. Don't you worry.
But what if there's like a House of Leaves style asynchronous mystery happening in the
Griffin,
background?
I'm obsessed with the idea of these films. Like, it's such an incredible opportunity to do some in-world storytelling. That has nothing to do with the movie that you're watching.
Do you remember in Lost how there was like the character Richard who just like kept showing up and never aged?
Yeah,
and was
sure.
in every era. Give me
That'd
one of those
cool.
type
the
characters.
Watcher.
Just keep showing up to the party, but it's the same guy, unaged, unchanging, every time.
Every era includes a scene of someone going in the attic and seeing the face of the witch in the attic, mm-hmm. and then they scream, and then it hard cuts back downstairs, and they don't talk about the witch in the attic again.
Yes.
They don't. But when you're watching a commercial for Velveeta in the next movie, the witch comes into the commercial for Velveeta.
Yeah.
As they slowly pan across one of the rooms, you see like an alien figure standing in a corner, and when they pan back, he's gone.
Yeah.
And you just see him pop up in different locations throughout the house, throughout the eras.
Yeah.
And you see him like scribbling down notes maybe about what he sees in human behavior.
That's awesome.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I did not actually say the names of these movies. Season's Greetings from Cherry Lane is December 5th. December 12th, the one we just discussed, Happy Holidays from Cherry Lane.
Oh.
On December 19th, You're Gonna Deck the Halls on Cherry Lane. In 1966, a single guy, David's plans for a simple Christmas are dashed when his
neighbor, time
Stephanie,
traveler arrives from 2015.
I am from the third era. I warn
he finds
thee.
The corpse.
the corpse. He finds the corpse, the journal, and the key.
And the witch must be fed.
It was a news that she arrives with the news that she won a contest to have Tommy. Man, I'm going to read this whole sentence. You ready, guys?
Yep.
In 1966, single guy David's plans for a simple Christmas are dashed when his neighbor Stephanie's Christmas Eve TV special broadcast live from her house, but used his address.
What?
That's a big one.
She won a contest to have Tommy Saunter's Christmas Eve TV special broadcast live from her house.
Pretty shitty contest.
In 1981, John and Lizzie learn that this will be their last Christmas on Cherry Lane after Job receives an offer in Michigan, and Lizzie finds out she's pregnant. In 2000, best friends Matt and Rebecca find unexpected feelings developing as they try to find out who's behind a series of Christmas-themed random acts of kindness. That's
oh, man. I thought it was going to be murders.
Murder. Me too, yeah. Trav. I was hoping for murder.
I thought
as well.
It was going to be Christmas murders.
I think that in the one where the woman is pregnant, the baby comes out, and it's one of the guys from Arrow 1, and the whole thing is part of a beautiful cycle, I think.
It has such incredible... I mean, what I want from these films that I won't get is, like, you're watching... The one in 2004, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a 2003 guy knocks on the door. He's like, I am so sorry to do this. I left a cable underneath the garage. If I could grab, excuse me, I'm sorry. You all look busy. My wife, still a ghost. Anyway,
I was just going for a jog in the neighborhood and I needed to... make soil, and since I used to do it so much in this house, I just thought...
I'm used to.
That's fine, right? You're cool.
You remember me from the signing when I sold you this house. Anyway,
I bought that toilet seat, so technically it's mine.
It is mine.
So both of the...
I'm going to pay someone on Fiverr to watch all nine of these eras for me just to let me know if there's any kind of spooky, supernatural, cyclical observations of time or
circle.
If there's fucking witches in the attic.
Guys... there will be reused garments. Like, this is the budget I'm expecting for this. Would you do, if you were doing this shoot, do you think they filmed chronologically in terms of like.
Oh, cool.
And like, just started 1950, and they're like, okay, the next part of a movie three, takes place in 4 years. So let's just move it like 4 years.
You would have
down.
To. Justin, you would
have to, right?
Because that way you can show realistic wear and tear on the house as the house ages like 60 years.
And they're obsessive about the details.
Yes. Yeah,
by
sure.
The time you get to like the 2024 episode, like the roof is like caving in and everything's like rotten and covered in dust. And
we don't have a lot going on in December. Would you guys commit to each one of us watching one of the Cherry Lane movies?
And then
we can like talk about
the
how they overlap.
If we can recut it into chronological order and
hey,
see how it lines up.
You know, I've thought a lot about what order I'm going to show my kids the Cherry Lane movies.
It'll be first part of one, and then the second part of three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
I think with four screens set up, you can pause and jump between without having to switch any discs or anything. So we're just going to... The question is, you set it up four in a row or like a two and two?
That's not enough for me, Travis. I need like Minority Report levels of like manipulating footage.
Yeah.
With my cyber gloves. I need
now
to
you
compare.
See here they move the doily, and I think that is a cue to us to know change
here we
is
have,
coming.
Here we have a second appearance of the character I like to call the man in the wall. If you look, the man in the wall has moved.
It's an incredible house, an incredible, miraculous house where special things happen every Christmas Eve. The only rule, heteros only.
Only, please.
Please.
And also, nothing bad happens to anyone. Why did they have to move out of the house? He got a job, she's pregnant. Nothing's wrong.
Their son got a job. Their dog got a job. They all got new jobs.
Everything's great.
They're all moving to Aspen.
I need to know if we're getting a new installation of the Yes Chef Christmas franchise. Dying to know.
Yes, Chef. Let me see here.
Yes, Chef Christmas. It's starring Tia Mowry. It's called Yes, Chef Christmas, and she's in a cooking competition.
Was that a Hallmark film?
It was a Hallmark film, I think. Or was it a Netflix film? Oh, it's a Lifetime film. That's basically the same thing. They're probably not making a Yes, Chef Christmas.
You say that, and it's so offensive.
I think Lifetime has a lot more murder.
Lifetime has, but not in their Christmas movies, rarely. Rarely.
Very rare.
I just love Yes, Chef Christmas.
Tamara Mowry Housley, excuse me, is busy over there at Scouting for Christmas, which we previously covered.
Okay.
In a prior episode. I know she's on the
show. Did we? I think just you and I talked to Dad about it.
I watched all of Yes, Chef
Wait,
Christmas.
Is that? Oh, man, Travis, that's really embarrassing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I we talked about it in the green room in Denver. We did talk about it on an episode. Oh, no. The spheres.
It's all blending together. I just like Yes, Chef Christmas because it sounds like the Christmas sequel to the Yes, Chef franchise. It is not. The name of the film, first of its kind, is Yes, Chef Christmas.
And I do need to see if we're going to get a time for you to come home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Okay. Let's get in a question. I'd love to do a question before we head on.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a Novi show for the modern era where we take your questions and turn them alchemy-like into wisdom.
I host a general trivia night at a restaurant. I have a team of regulars that have been coming almost every week for a year. It's a group of 48 people, depending on the week.
428. So important.
They're super nice, and we always have a great time together. Lots of good bits back and forth. There's one problem. They win almost every week. Mm. I'm worried people will stop coming or not come at all. Is there any way to deter them from winning, find out their weaknesses, or should I let them continue to dominate? That's from Mystified in the Mid-South.
You know who's figured this out?
Who?
The Chase? The game show The Chase?
Are we about to have another lengthy conversation about The Chase game show?
No, not lengthy. Just what they have is they have trivia experts. And the trivia expert, everybody's playing against them, all right? So the trivia questions go to the Chase and the Chaser.
And it's Trav, like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so you have this team who's like, you're playing against them, and whoever does best against them wins.
I mean, there's another version of this that is 1 versus 100, right? Another sort of similar style experience where everyone else in the bar gets to be on one big team.
Oh, I like that too, Griffin. Mm. That really puts them on the pedestal. Or like they have to choose
one representative.
A champion for each round, like the Chase. This is also like the Chase. Can you do the Chase?
Can you just do the chase?
You know what would be fun? Oh, this is what
so
you
is
do.
The Chase the beast in America?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
The next time there's like eight of them, you say, you know, it'd be fun. Two teams of four. See how you guys do against each other.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's cool.
Gamify the trivia night.
I mean, take a look at
the trivia.
Yeah. It's about time someone did. Because really, it's just school you're allowed to drink at if you fucking think about it. I feel like look at the subject matter of your questions, if they're crushing it, and pick wildly different subject matter.
Yeah.
I don't want to cast.
Everybody knows about other stuff. I believe this. You just got to find out what the other people know about and try to ask them. Like, maybe. Before trivia, you go around and you're like, so what's your birthday?
And then
throw a curveball in. What's Doug's birthday?
Yeah, that's a good one. What's in Doug's pocket?
What's in Doug's pocket right now?
Hey, who's ready to play my favorite game? What's in my pockets? Now, that was in a live show, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I one time was at a bar trivia. And they did a segment where they're like, all right, we're going to list out some names. You have to tell us if it's a Shakespeare character or a Final Fantasy character. And it felt like a light was shining down from heaven. Like, Griffin, this is you don't know much shit, but this is your moment to impress. I got like 60% right. It was harder than it sounds, man.
It sounds so hard, man.
I was all confident. I know these guys. They all blend together in the head, don't they?
Yeah.
You get to cheat.
What?
Just cheat. Just say they got the answers wrong.
What? No.
No, don't do that.
Then they won't come anymore.
Oh, yeah. You don't want
they are providing a lot of business to this business.
Yeah, and they like them. They're not personally against. You could ask them to just, like, chill out.
If they win all the time, do they like winning all the time? has it started? Maybe you could like give them some sort of like deficit that they're starting like 4 points down or whatever. And like talk to them about it. And be like, hey, does this still feel challenging to you guys?
Yeah.
Like,
do you think you could cover and then uncover your ears fast back and forth so you only hear half of the questions?
Ooh.
Is that something
like
you
every
guys
other word? How fast are we talking?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Travis.
We're going to put someone at your table who hums really loudly while I'm asking the question.
I am going to start tasing you all. But you won't know when. So do keep an eye out for that. Don't get too focused on the questions.
Who's the worst team who always shows up? Put them on their team now.
Yes.
Right? We're going to get an average here. Hey, you guys are always doing really bad, right? You get every question wrong? Cool. You're with them now.
And yes.
Listen, don't respect their opinions at all. Maybe this is the time you guys get all the questions right. Get over there.
Get on. Can you call in Kenneth Jennings and some other big Jeopardy heavyweights just to have ringers.
Some ringers, yeah.
Yeah, to take them down to Dookie Town.
I'm pretty good at trivia.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think I am.
I feel like trivia always reminds me. I feel like trivia just kind of reminds me of the only stuff I know is stuff everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of it, but so does everybody else. I kind of feel like. I don't feel like I know a lot of stuff that other people don't know.
There's
a lot of stuff that I just don't. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's it.
Where
yeah,
things are.
Uh-huh. No. I would say there's a alternative to this, which is there's a lot of things that everyone knows that I don't know.
This is what I'm saying, right? Like, where things are, what happened is
when
one that a lot of people...
What happened and when?
What happened? When did it happen?
Sports.
Oh, how do they do it there?
How do they do it there?
Yeah.
How do they do it over
what
there?
What led to this happening?
Who's in charge?
Causes and effects, Travis. That's one that I think should be off limits. What caused
something? I don't know.
Or like, who?
Who can say?
Who is one that they do a lot at trivia where I'm like, Star Wars? Like, no, not Star Wars. Like, okay, well, who? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Superman?
Which war was it?
I don't like which
war
one,
was it?
Which one? Who did it? When was it? Why did it happen?
Who's in charge?
Any of that stuff I don't like.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Presidents.
No way.
There's a couple of them I know stuff about.
Yeah.
A couple of them I'd like to know less about.
I think a fun trivia night would be more of like an essay thing where it's just like open-ended, sit down, here's a piece of paper, write down some trivia and then I'll write down interesting trivia, and it's going to be much more subjective judging where they're like, that is good trivia, and I would get a point for that.
This reminds me, I've told this story on the show before, I think, but I used to have a science teacher in high school that had his own Jeopardy machine that you could hook up to a TV with like RCA cables and play Jeopardy. But he would have us write some of the questions, not the ones not about human anatomy. And we would play the game and he'd be like, in this franchise, the fantasy is never final. And I rung in. I was like, Final Fantasy? And he was like, I don't know. He was like, I didn't write this. Is that right? Whoever wrote this one, I don't know.
Let's take a quick break. Go to the Money Zone. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you. Secret Mysteries of Nerd Mysteries.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
I am on the first day of our first family vacation in several years, and I'm having a problem. I have had to shit for the last 47 minutes, and my family is only halfway through the Cincinnati Zoo. I don't want them to miss out on any of the exhibits because of me, but I'm about to explode. How do I guide them through the exhibits quickly?
Fucking cool.
So that we can get to the hotel quicker? That's from DJ.
I wish I was brave like DJ.
Hey, DJ. I wish I was just... There's bathrooms.
No. DJ knows that. No, Travis. DJ knows there's bathrooms at the Cincinnati Zoo. I think we have to accept the premise
that
DJ will not be using the bathrooms at the Cincinnati Zoo.
I mean, and here's the thing about the bathrooms at the Cincinnati Zoo. There's whole swaths of that park that are underserved, bathroom-wise. If you're chilling in Gorilla World, you have a 15-minute walk to the nearest bathroom.
This is true. That's a lot of it, some of it uphill.
If you're exploring Gibbon Islands, you're already fucking, just poop your pants. You're not going to make it. No way.
There's a lot of people that simply will not use the bathroom in a public place, which I understand. There's a lot of people like me that as soon as they get to a new public place, try to use the bathroom immediately.
Clock it.
Like I'm setting up a base camp on a climb.
Leaving dead drops.
I'm on recon.
Yeah. I do that every time
so
I go
how
out
is
to
the
eat.
So what have you thought so far? I don't know. I just got here 10 minutes ago. That's only time for the bathroom.
There are some people like me where they just know that even if they desperately need to use the public restroom and are mentally open to it, there's something in their body that's like, no, not here. No, I'm not going to let you.
Rachel and I went to a nice sushi place last night, and we got there, got our drink orders in, and I was like, where's the bathroom? And they're like, right behind the host stand. And I was like, cool. So I went to do my base camp setup. And then when I got there, I realized that it really is, you have to walk immediately by and behind the host at their host stand, which immediately I was like, this is going to be a problem because I'm at least going to go in there three times. And sure enough, by the third time, she was just like, wow.
That's miserable, Griff. I'm so sorry.
Most of the animals are very similar.
Yeah.
You know?
Speak on that.
Well, like a cheetah, a leopard, a tiger. We get it.
Yeah.
Big cats. Okay. How different is an elephant and a rhino and a hippo? So go see Fiona. Clock Fiona. You did it. You knocked
That's
it out
really,
of the park.
Really all you need.
Pay your respects to Harambe over at Gorilla World. Take a minute and think about how that all went down.
Is there
moment of silence?
Is there a? I find joking about Harambe incredibly tasteless. But
sorry,
is there
who was
a
joking Griffin? Who was joking?
No, you're not joking. I'm saying, in general, internet humor about Harambe, I think is quite tasteless. But is there like a plaque or any sort of like recognition of like his existence?
See, now I can't tell if I'm. If I'm Mandela.
Obviously, this is a huge setup for a joke opportunity, and we all recognize that, but we're not going to grab it.
I remember, like, part of my brain is like, I remember there being one.
Okay.
But it might be because I just want there to be one.
The Cincinnati Zoo does have one for the last carrier pigeon that died there, which seems like a big oopsie, but that is true.
Well, when you only have one, Justin, what are you going to
do? Oh, my God. They have a whole memorial park.
Okay.
So we're well covered.
Oh, but it's permanently closed. So maybe.
So they need another one for that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
They need a bigger memorial park to put that park in. Hey, I think when you go to see the monkeys at the zoo, people say the same thing every time. Oh, they're so much like us. And I get it for sure. But it does. What it means is when you look at every animal at the zoo, the question on your mind is, do I do anything like this? Because it's the only way the animals are, the only way monkeys are answering that question for you is if you are asking it when you're looking at them. So really the zoo is just going around and looking at animals like, do I do anything like Cheetah? Like, yeah. You look at, the only thing that you're going to learn from Cheetah is like, do I do anything that I recognize is like, sometimes you'll see Cheetah go up to a food and like, it'll eat some food, then run away. And then I'm like, I do things like that. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Look at this Cheetah.
I use my butt to balance me when I'm running really quickly. I get it.
I like also doing this sort of aspirationally, like when you see an elephant pick up a watermelon with its trunk and put it in its mouth and absolutely fucking annihilate that thing. I see that and I'm like, must be nice. Must be nice to grab a whole watermelon with your nose, cram it in your mouth, and then explode it? Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty fucking cool to me, man.
It's also one of those like chase experiences, like,
yeah,
because of the context. Like, I saw an elephant, no big deal. I saw an elephant crush a watermelon. It's like, I saw Joaquin Phoenix, who cares? I saw Joaquin Phoenix eat a salad at Sweetgreen. It's like, that's something.
That's something.
You know what I mean? Like, there's
an action there.
Yeah, there's a reveal to the story.
Chase experience.
At the Cincinnati Zoo, there's also a petting zoo where you can see like goats and shit. And it's like, hey, man, I'm at a zoo. Why would I want to see a goat and a chicken? I can see those.
They're still pretty cool, man.
I'm saying you could skip that. I'm saying that that's a thing you can bounce off. Hey, man, me personally, the bug house, I don't need that. I don't need that in my day. I don't need to think about that. Skip right past that.
But goats, I see goats about the same amount that I see every other animal, which is mostly at zoos. I don't have a lot of day-to-day goat encounters, and I thank the sweet Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior above, for that.
Have you thought about opening yourself up to more goat opportunities?
I don't know how the fuck I would do that, man.
Speaking of the bug house, you are not allowed to vape in here there. And it's like, do you want me to be high for this or not?
Yeah.
It's kind of like mixed messages. Like, you have a place called the bug house. Like, I would like to see it the way it's intended. You know what I mean? I need to open up my
consciousness. That could turn bad on you, though, huh?
If you were going to have a bathroom whoopsie at the Cincinnati Zoo, what area of the zoo do you think would be the best choice?
I think maybe around the apes, because then at least they'll point at you and be like, I get it.
The apes would look at you and be like, oh, they're just like us.
Damn, dude, bipedal buddy, did you just shit right where you stand? Yeah, man.
Just like us.
Do you ever been to the zoo or Animal Kingdom or something where the animals are walking around? They have some animals that are allowed to walk around? Because I think next to one of them is where I would do it.
Oh, yeah? Shit, yeah.
And then be like, ew, everybody come look. Look at what this nasty duck. Look at this nasty duck, everybody.
That duck is very sick.
Look at this huge fucking turd this peahen made. Holy crap, it's thicker than its neck. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Something got horribly wrong.
Hey, this guy in a crocodile costume just pooped over. Hey, Yuri, come look what Goofy did. You nasty dog. Pluto's more human than you are, you filthy animal. I gotta go. I'll see myself out.
I know what's happened here. You know what's happened here.
I know
here.
What this means. Don't get your hands off me.
I'm gonna go to the gift shop.
You can't prove that's mine.
I'm allowed to buy a shot glass on my way out.
I'm making the decision to leave. I want to make this clear.
I'm choosing to never return.
I'm choosing to leave and ban myself from the Cincinnati Zoo. Please don't tell Jack Hanna I did any of this.
Hey, guys. What if they had a part of the zoo where you could go and just be in
beast mode for a second? Yeah.
Just go. You shed the clothes. You shit where you please. And for a half
That's
hour,
freedom,
you're
man.
Exhibit, man. You're just, there's no judgment.
You're not worried about deadlines. You're not worried about your boss anymore.
I'm getting excited about this idea
you're
now.
You're just shitting where you please. They throw you a watermelon, you crush it in your jaws.
Is there part of this preservation, this human preservation, where you there is like an observation window? If you want to run up to the glass and be like, come on, guys, we're fucking partying in here. Or you could just lay down in front of the glass and sleep and not just hide behind a bush.
Dude, I feel like that's counter to the spirit. I want a break for that.
Yeah.
You just described my everyday life, honestly,
I don't want to do it again.
I would love
to just be able to just go full meerkat for a while.
Yes.
Like, I see people come to the thing and I'm immediately in the tunnels. We're popping out. We're watching out for each other.
It would have to be an international waters situation. Like, you can't have laws in the wild zone.
Yeah.
You can trade places with an animal for 30 minutes. What about that? I see the orangutan. I'm like, you and me, buddy. I give him my clothes, my ID. He's me on the outside for 30 minutes.
He tears your fucking head off your shoulders and throws it in the nearby lake.
No, it's, and just, I think,
no touchies, no words. That's easy.
Yeah.
Right? A human preserve. Like, no touchies, no words solves most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of our problems.
When your time's done, you do have to go back to the human world.
If you start making crude technologies, you will be asked to leave.
Get out of here, man.
If I see you use a lever, out.
If you use a stick to get some ants out of a vial, get the fuck out of here.
Well,
you're too
now
far.
It depends on which one you're being. If you're in the chimpanzee exhibit, you can do that.
I think when chimpanzees get to that point, they should be removed from the zoo also. You're too close, dude. Now we're uncomfortable, man.
I would love to see a human in the elephant exhibit painting. That would make me really happy for some reason. I'd be very, but they have to do it with their nose.
Okay. There's something there.
I'd want to be not one of the night cats. Can you imagine you're just walking through the night hunter exhibit at Cincinnati Zoo? And you're looking in, and they've got everything all dark and stuff to trick the animals. And the thing is, nighttime, and you look in, and there's just me prowling around in one of those containers. Shit.
Yeah, Trav,
like,
that
I see
would
him.
Be.
He's behind that log.
That would be extremely scary and off-putting to see a man in the night hunter
dressed as Mr. Mistopheles.
Look at, he's stalking that cricket or whatever.
I'm on the prowl.
I'm a night cat.
They don't let me in the wild zone with the other animal humans. For obvious reasons.
My second interview to be a barista is on Thursday, and I just realized it's Halloween. What costume will impress the manager and land me the job? That's from Scarista in San Francisco.
Very scary. Like, that really scared me a little bit, actually.
Good for you.
Do both.
I mean, yeah, I think doing both is wild. How long is this interview going to be that you have to wear your costume during it? Unless you just don't want to bring a change of clothes downtown.
Well, it shows a level of commitment, Griffin. A level of enthusiasm.
You dress up like a big old coffee bean. I'm this for Christmas because I'm just wild about these beans.
You dress for the job you want.
Did you say for Christmas?
I did say Christmas, yeah.
Let's speak on that for a second. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking like...
Justin doesn't like it when people say Christmas. Everybody has to say happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Okay.
It does make you seem like someone who had better things to do, doesn't it?
A little bit.
I like that, though. That's kind of playing hard to get.
You got to dress for the job you want. So you dress as a barista.
I mean...
The generic... Like Kroger, like Aldi brand,
the Kirkland barista. A zombie barista.
What?
So you're also scary. Spooky. Yeah.
I don't think it's got to be that. I think you come out of the back room wearing a barista uniform from this place. And you're like, I'm make-believing that I'm doing this. And you're going to see what a good job I do. And they can't make you leave because it's a Halloween costume.
Dress as a job interviewer and flip the script.
Where do you see yourself?
Which one of us is the interviewer now?
Yeah,
where
do you watchman?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years asking you this exact same question 5 years from now?
And tell me, who have you dressed as today for our interview? I dressed as your grandfather's ghost.
I looked it up online.
And I'm your grandfather's. I'm looking exactly. I know exactly like him. Right? It's wild.
And I researched his whole life story. Ask me anything your grandfather would know.
Anything your grandfather know?
What kind of interview is this? Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, I'm your biological grandfather. Wait, what?
Yes, you heard me right. You don't even know about that shit. I am dressed as a Google Maps printout of your home address. if I don't get this job, I am going to Talented Mr. Ripley. Which I don't know if you've seen that film, does not turn out for the real Mr. Ripley. Stuff to think about.
Yes, sir. I am dressed as Borat, but I will be doing this interview as myself. Don't you worry. What's that? You want to see my resume? Sorry, sir. That was the only one. Sorry. It just happened.
Sorry. Your only resume?
Yes.
I do need it back. My thrift.
Yes, is pain in my assholes. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much.
One of my friends is a speed Rubik's Cube solver and solves with a team that enters competitions together. Recently, they signed up to an event in my city that's in a week. Unfortunately, one of their team got sick, but has already paid for the ticket. My friend has asked me to step in as I know how to slowly solve a Rubik's Cube. Brothers, how do I grind my Rubik's Cube skills as to not embarrass myself in front of these elite cubers? That's from Gmail.
This is a nightmare that
I've
had.
It's a nightmare, what you described.
Yeah, I've had this
nightmare.
There's
no way to do this. You have to get good at it real fast.
It takes a long time. So long?
Yeah, it takes a long time to do it.
Okay, let me offer this play. You step up there. You move the cube around really fast, but then you slam it down and say, this one's broken.
Yeah. This one's actually an unsolvable pattern.
Unsolvable.
This happens.
Unsolvable.
This happens
sometimes. This isn't regulation.
I've had that happen to me before.
Couple stickers in the wrong place. That motherfucker won't
get
solved.
One of the cubes twisted.
Yep.
That'll happen.
Unsolvable.
Unsolvable.
But you're so smart, you do it. You want to prove to me it's not broken? You solve it. Thank you very much. That's my
slam it down.
Take it back. Slam it down.
I use social engineering as my skill.
Exactly. That's one.
He's done it. If your friend has invited you to do it, they know that you're not bringing the heat, right?
Yeah.
There's no way your friend thinks you're super. Your friend who is super fast and competes in super fast Rubik's Cube is like, I bet they're also as good at it as I am. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Probably is they need somebody to fill out the team, and you're the only other person they know who's ever solved a Rubik's Cube.
Have you wronged them in the past? And this is a setup for a J.K. Simmons at the end of Whiplash, brutal fucking, like, they walk up to you and they're like, you remember how I said that this was low stakes? These are the fastest speed cubers in the world, and you're about to absolutely shit your pants and have your ass fall out of your pants. We staked your house on this one. I knew it was you the whole time, Neiman. And then you walk away, slap, oh, fuck, you don't know what to do. But then you go back out there. Paul Reiser's like, don't do it. But you're like, don't do it. Fuck off, Paul Reiser.
Fuck on. Your heart will explode. You can't drum right now. I haven't seen it in a bit.
That's basically how it ends, yeah.
How fast can it be? I'm going to look up the world record because it can't be that fast, right?
For drumming?
World record, Rubik's Cube. I mean, you'll probably have a couple minutes or something to
People who do it.
3.13
really
seconds. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you ever see people do, people get. I thought I would impress a kid one time because I saw this kid, Cuban, at a rehearsal I was at.
You saw a Cuban child at a thing?
Human child, Cuban. Cuban.
He was eating a Cuban sandwich.
No, I'm so sorry. He was Cuban.
Yeah.
C-U-B-I-N, fun apostrophe, Cuban.
Yeah. G on there would have really solved this whole issue, Juice, and it seemed like you were...
Hey, Griffin, if I like solving things, I wouldn't be a Cuber, you know?
Isn't that the whole point of being a cuber?
Hey, so I told him I could solve the cube, and he's like, he's like, you do cube now? I'm like, yeah, let me see. So I take the cube and I'm like, solve it. It takes me about 2 minutes, and he's like, huh. And then he takes it, and he's like, he just sort of looks at it. It's just like, solves itself. I don't know. This kid did it in like 10 seconds, and it made me feel... I realized that, like, just knowing how to do it actually is the lowest possible barrier to it. It is just the lowest thing you can do to even be in
eligible.
This world at all. Like, you couldn't be at more of a beginning spot than to just be able to do it.
One of my favorite things of being a parent is moments where I can look at my child and be like, this child and I, we're cut from the same cloth. BB picked up a Rubik's Cube, twisted it 3 or 4 times, and then went, eh. Put it back down.
Never touched
and I was
it again.
Like, that's my kid.
That kicks
nice.
Ass.
Wow.
Chilling.
Oh, what I mean is I have no follow through or commitment to things I'm not immediately good at.
Yeah. Okay. No, I got it.
Hey, Travis, here's what I'm saying. Explain to me how we're on episode 736 because you're the best in the biz.
I was good at this right away.
This is the proof. This is the proof is in the pudding. You wouldn't still be doing it if you weren't good at it. Think about it that way.
I did it right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? You must be good at it. Otherwise, why are you still doing it?
I'm financially beholden to doing it. It's part of it.
Oh, well, yeah, we all have our demons at this point, Trav. Yeah. I know how this tauntine is set up.
Yeah, I can't stop playing the ponies, and so I got to keep doing my brother and me.
Right, exactly.
Most of my several families across the U.S. are dependent on this show's
your tour families, as you call them.
Right.
Yeah.
The road fam.
Yeah, we get it.
The satellite fam.
By the way, the fam Jeremy, from home. Good luck in science club.
See you in Indianapolis. Carla.
And it would be in someone else. Can't wait to catch your next science fair in Indianapolis. Carla. Carla. You are my favorite
daughter
of 8 years old.
Crap. We are actually going to be in Indianapolis on Tuesday. That's probably tomorrow.
Not to see our road families.
No, we're going to be doing My Brother Me Tuesday, November 5th, Indianapolis with Bria Iyengar. Wednesday, November 6th, we are going to be in Indianapolis doing The Adventure Zone. And then we'll be in Milwaukee on November 7th with My Brother and Me.
And let me be clear about that Adventure Zone one. It's Roll for Shoes, which if you don't know the system, is the most open-ended, chaotic thing. The last
it's
time we played
so silly.
It went absolutely really wild, and Abria's joining us, and you're not going to want to miss it. You can get tickets at bit.ly/McElroyTours, and you can also, if you have questions for either My Brother and Me show, you can send in the questions to mbmbam@MaximumFun.org and put your city in the subject line so we know you're sending it to. Same with Wishes for Fun Galore.
Yeah. Hey, if you're coming to that November 5th show in Indianapolis, you should probably definitely vote before you come to the show. And, we won't have any kind of voting apparatus set up there.
And don't vote for one of the shitty ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Only for the right people, obviously.
We should or the left that. People, wink.
If we say the wrong thing here, Jeff Bezos shuts our asses
down. That's the problem.
He's standing over my shoulder right now, breathing very heavily, which is freaking me out.
Don't vote for Ronald Gump. And I'm looking at Jeff, and he's nodding his head like, you can say like, don't vote Ronald
okay.
Gump. He said, that's okay. He said the real Ronald Gump might not recognize that you're talking about him. His retribution doesn't come down. So don't vote for Ronald Gump.
Hey, at the end of this month, I'm going to be doing 20 Sided Tavern in New York City on my off-Broadway premiere.
There it is.
First of many. November 27th through December 1st, I'll be playing the Trickster role, which is like three different characters.
Ambitious.
Well, it's, we're playing D&D. Get this. Playing D&D live in front of an audience. And I'm making it up as we go along.
Kicks ass.
Yeah, man. Get your tickets at the20sidedtavern.com, and I'll see you there. It's going to be an absolute hoot and a half.
Yep. Got some new merch up in the merch store?
Yeah. The Do Not Drink mug, if you're a McElroy Family Clubhouse fan.
I got mine this morning.
You'll recognize that and enjoy it.
There you go.
Both of my kids have asked me what the fuck it means that we have a mug that says Do Not Drink on it.
You don't show them the intro all the time?
I guess I guess they would enjoy that, right?
My kids watch it every morning. That's how I wake them up. Yeah.
And 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to the First Nations Development Institute. Their mission is to uplift and sustain the lifeways and economies of Native communities through advocacy, financial support, and knowledge sharing. So go check out McElroyMerch.com and check out that new mug and everything else that's there.
We got a wish here.
And thank you to Montaigne.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this is the first time I've ever...
Of our theme song, My Life's Better With You. Go check
Montaigne,
that out.
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
But I've never done it.
That's what family is. Meerkats support each other, Griffin. We're looking out for each other. That's what meerkats and I have in common.
Is that what you would be, you think, if you went into the wild zone at the Cincinnati Zoo? You would live
Why are you starting the fucking show again?
I really
could push you into a well.
And the meerkat inside.
Okay, cool.
I gotta read the wish.
Yeah, please go ahead, Justin.
I wish that Haribo gummy sour bats looked a little less like flying penises.
Now
my name
is
Justin McElroy.
Google these, man.
I'm Travis McElroy.
How Haribo sour bats? Yeah, a little bit. I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother May Kiss Your Dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.